You're grateful for your church this morning.
Amen.
Come on. You're grateful for your church. You're grateful for worship. Come on, give it up for our worship team. You're doing a great job. And now, are you grateful for God's word? This word's going to be a special one this morning. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 10. You can follow along with me as I read Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. And it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of this valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And this is what the Lord says, the sovereign Lord says to these bones, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach the tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Come on, give him praise for that. You will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Father, I want to ask you this morning that you would bless us with your presence and teach us your word. That you would use me, for apart from you, Lord, we're nothing. And we thank you, Lord, for the grace you give us every day and Sundays, Lord, that we can come together. But I pray that this not just be a gathering, but a revival in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated as we get into this word this morning. I want to preach to you this morning as I read this week in prayer. I want to preach to you on this powerful subject of when God brings you to a valley. Ezekiel's name in the Hebrew literally means God strengthens. And it's a name that is so fitting for Ezekiel because Ezekiel is now in the land of Babylon. He's taken captive along with the others as slaves. The homes have been destroyed in Jerusalem. Families have been torn apart. The temple has been destroyed. And God is silent. And the people of Israel will be in Babylon for the next 70 years. And Ezekiel has a difficult task to preach the word of God to people that are dry spiritually and dead. And I'm going to tell you as a pastor, there is nothing worse than preaching to dead people, to dry people. People that have no joy in the Lord anymore. People that are going through struggles. People that don't feel the power of God's presence. It is one of the hardest tasks for any man of God to preach the word of God to a group of people, sometimes like yourselves, to be honest, that are dead and dry. But something interesting, as I read this passage, came to me. There's certain words in this verse and in this scripture that we tend to kind of think exciting thoughts about. And we really love these words in the church. For example, Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And whenever you see that in Scripture, it means that God's favor was on that person. And the word favor literally means blessing. It means that God advances you. It means that God's grace is upon you. And when God's favor is on you, opportunities come, doors open. And when we see the favor of God and we preach about the favor of God, we tend to say that the favor of God means that everything's going to be good, everything's going to be great, and God is right behind you. But the reality is that the Bible says the hand of the Lord was on Ezekiel. But then something interesting happens right after. The Bible says, though the hand of the Lord was upon him with favor, the Lord brought him out. Notice that language, because whenever we preach that the Lord's going to bring you out, we always think that the Lord's going to bring you out of depression, out of problems, out of hard times. So here we see God's hand of favor and God is bringing them out. But then it turns and says, and he set me down into a valley. God led Ezekiel to a valley. A valley is a place where battles were fought. In Scripture, a valley is a place of great conflict and hardship. And throughout the Bible, valleys were known to be difficult times for the people of God. So though the hand of the Lord is on Ezekiel, he's staring dead straight into a valley. Sometimes it doesn't look like the hand of God is on you. Sometimes it doesn't look like favor. Because though the hand of the Lord is on Ezekiel, the Lord has led him to a valley. In fact, I want you to look at verse 2 with me, church. And verse 2 says, he led me. Everyone say that with me. He led me. Say it like you want to hear it. He led me. Say it one more time louder. He led me. How many of you this morning need God to lead you this morning? You want God to lead you. Of course, we all want God to lead us. But here's what I find fascinating. The Bible says, he led me. But he led me back and forth among them. And I saw, what I saw was great and many bones on the floor of that valley. Bones that were very dry. The bones were not the bones of the people of Babylon. The bones were not the bones of their enemies that have been conquered and dead. The bones were the bones of God's own people that were dry and defeated and tired and in bondage. And Ezekiel was led there by God. Which tells me this, and this is the first point I want to make this morning, because I came here to preach. The first point I want to make is that you and I have to be ready for the moments that God leads you to difficult valleys. You have to expect and be ready that when God leads you, it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be the pleasant places. It's not always going to be comfortable. When you begin to follow Jesus Christ and he is the leader of your home and the leader of your life and the leader of your choices, and you are following Jesus, the Lord will lead you. But where the Lord leads you in some seasons of your life will be very difficult, dry valleys. And Ezekiel was led there by God to speak life into it. And I want to tell you this morning, this isn't even in my notes right now, but God will lead you to certain people that need life in them and they need Jesus. God will lead you to a certain job where your co-workers are all unsaved. God will lead you to places where the people are dead, gone, and hopeless and on their way to hell. And He has sent you there to bring life to them. And you need to be alive in Christ if you want to see a resurrection from the dead. But the Ezekiel was there. And he was led by God to a dry, dark, defeated place. God will lead you to valleys. Be careful when you pray. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, show me. Lord, give me favor. Because if we're honest as Christians, when we pray such prayers, it's selfish. We want the favor of God to give us an easy life. Lord, lead me to the things that are better for me. Lead me to the things that are nicer. Lord, show me and give me vision, but show me great things. Isn't it interesting? Whenever someone in the church has a vision from God, it's always something big and beautiful. Have you noticed that? But no one seems to prophesy visions of hopelessness and dark times. But God gave Elijah, look at me. God gave Ezekiel. He led him. He had favor on his life. And he showed him a vision. And as the Lord led him back and forth, it was a valley. Get ready for the moments that God leads you to valleys. We love to quote Psalm 23, but we don't really see what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads. The sheep follow. And the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd and he leads me. Yes. But it says, even though I walk through the shadows and the valleys of death, I will feel no evil. God will lead, but sometimes where he leads are valleys. Matthew 4, verse 1. Let me show you in Scripture. Jesus was what, church? Led. By the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was on him with favor. The Lord said, this is my Son who I love and I'm well pleased. But notice right after that famous baptism of Christ, Jesus was led by the Spirit into where, church? Into the desert. To be tempted by the devil. And we're thinking, wait a minute, God's supposed to protect us. God's supposed to bless us. God's supposed to do nice things. This doesn't seem nice. The Lord led him to a dry place where the devil was waiting for him. And Jesus survived this moment in his life because he hung on to the Word of God. And he told the devil repeatedly, it is written, it is written, it is written, when the devil tried to tempt. And I'm telling you this, when the Lord leads you to valleys, the only thing that's going to get you through is his Spirit and his Word. The Word of God. And in verse 11, God had a question for Ezekiel as he's looking at this valley. The hand of God is on him. God is leading him. And as he's leading him, he doesn't understand what this vision means because he's looking at everything. It looks dead. It looks dry. It looks hopeless. Have you ever been there in your life? You're thinking, Lord, I'm trusting you to guide me in my life. I'm trusting you to lead me. But everything I see is just hopeless. And everything I look at seems like it's never going to change. And I don't understand what you're doing. You see, in verse 11, God had a question for him. Verse 11, God says to me, Son of man. Son of man, Ezekiel. He said, these bones, are the whole house of Israel. These bones are God's people. And they say, our bones are dried and our hope is gone. And we have been cut off. You see, while the people of God were in Babylon, taken as slaves, they lost hope. The valley that Ezekiel sees is Babylon. And while they're in Babylon, and while they're suffering, and while they're in bondage and God is silent, they kept saying to themselves, it's hopeless. God says, they say it's hopeless. It's hopeless. And God has cut us off. That word cut literally means to separate. It's the idea that God has just forgotten you and he separated himself from you. And so many people feel like God has just cut them off. And maybe you feel God has cut you off because of your choices and your sin and your failures. And because life is so hard, it must mean that God has cut me off from his grace, cut me off of his love, cut me off of his favor. And God said, I see the people and the people are dry spiritually. The people are hopeless. The hopeless feeling is a feeling as nothing is ever going to get better. Like the future is never going to be good. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, it says that when hope is deferred, it can make your heart sick. What does it mean when your hope is deferred? That word deferred literally means dragged out, delayed. See, sometimes God has things in your life dragging out. And that dragging out feeling might be a job that you don't like and you don't know when God's going to promote you. That dragging out might be something in your body, a sickness, and you think God's going to heal me. I hope he's going to heal me, but it's been too long. That dragging out feeling might be something that you're praying for that hasn't happened yet. That dragging out might be something you're believing for, but God hasn't blessed you with. That dragging out might be someone you want to see come to the Lord and get saved, but they haven't yet. That dragging out is a child you want to see come back to the Lord. That dragging out is a marriage that you think is over and it's been this way for a long time and I was hoping we would fall in love again. I was hoping things would get better. See, sometimes God has you in a season where it's dragging and you don't know how long and when God, and it's in that moment that things are dragging that you begin to lose hope. You begin to say what the people said. Nothing's ever going to change. Nothing's ever going to get better. Nothing's ever going to happen for us. This is it. Our best days are behind us. And the Bible says that when your hope is being dragged out too long, you begin to lose it. It makes your heart sick. That word heart literally means your mind and your emotions. When your hope begins to drag, you get sick with depression. You get sick with anxiety and worry and anger. And worst of all, when everything seems like it's just dragging and God hasn't done anything yet, you begin to dry up spiritually. I believe this morning many in our church are seeing the same valley. A valley of hopelessness. What does your valley look like? Ezekiel looked at this valley and he knew it represented the people of Israel and the hope that was gone. Church, I want to ask you an honest question. What does your valley represent? Your valley this morning might be a desire you once had. A dream. But now that dream is dead. dry. That valley might be a marriage. You're together because divorce is expensive. You're together because you have kids. But you're not really together in love. It's dry. You barely talk to one another, barely spend time together. And as you look at that marriage, you're looking at that dry valley. The valley is a child that's prodigal right now. That's away making bad choices, hanging out with bad friends. And you think to yourself, they'll never come to church. They'll never get saved. They'll never come back home. The valley is a job you can't find. It's hopeless out there now. The valley is a job you're in, but you hate. The valley is a future you don't know is actually going to happen. The valley could be a ministry. The valley could be a church. I've looked at you guys, I've seen valleys. I look at this ministry, I see a valley right now. Can I speak truth this morning? I look at our church, I see a valley, I don't see revival. You guys look spiritually dead. I look at our church, I don't see life. I don't see joy. I don't see volunteers serving with the same joy they used to. I don't see people as passionately serving God as they used to. I don't see revival at Forward anymore. Because times are hard. Bank accounts drying up, it's dry. People's hope is gone, it's dry. I know God's hand is on us. Do we believe that? Amen. But Pastor, it's dry. I believe God has led me here, but it's dry. Are you guys with me this morning? Amen. You see, many of us go through valleys. Many of us go through dry times. We look at our lives and we say, it's hopeless. While Ezekiel saw a valley, in the end of this story, we see that those same bones that were dry and dead, the Bible says, we're coming back together. It's coming back together. And life was coming back. You see, no matter what your valley looks like, the hand of the Lord is still there. It reminds me of 1 Kings 20, verse 28. And this is my second point that I want you to know about the Lord. He not only will He lead you to a valley, but the Bible says, the man of God came up and told the king of Israel, this is what the Lord says, because the Arameans think that the Lord is God of the hills and not God of the what? He's not God of the valleys. I will deliver this vast army into your hands and you will know that I am the Lord. You know what God says here? I want my people to know that I'm not just the God of the hills, the God of the mountains, meaning I'm not just God when life is good. I'm not just God when the bills are paid. I'm not just God when you're healthy and everything's working out. I'm not just God when your marriage is strong. I'm not just God when everything's working out. I want the people to know that I am still God of the valleys. I'm the God of your hardest days of your life. I am the God when you have no hope. I am the God when things are dead. I am the God of the valley when you're fighting things that you thought you'd never fight. I am God, not just of the hills, but I am God of the valleys. Let's praise the God of the valleys and not just the God of the hills. We don't just praise God when life is good, but when you're in a valley, you say you are still God. He is God of the valleys. He is God when everything in your life looks hopeless. And then comes the hardest question you're going to face when you have been led by God to a valley. Verse 3. He asked me, Son of man. Remember, he's looking at this valley filled with dry, dead bones. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? Now pause that verse there. Don't move it. I want you to think about this, because if we're staring at a valley of dead, dry bones, and God would ask you right now, can this live? In other words, can this change? Can I reverse this curse? Can I bring life to this? Or is it gone? Is it over? Is it hopeless? Is it useless? Can I change it or not? What would you say to the Lord right now? I don't know. He asked me, can these bones live? And he says, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. You alone know. See, Ezekiel, he's staring at this vision. He sees a valley that the Lord has led him and is dry and it's hopeless and it's over. And God asked him, can these bones live? And you know, I gotta be honest, Ezekiel, he's not being a pessimist right now, and I like that. He's not saying, no, look at it. Look how dry it is. Look how dead it's been. Look how long it's been dead. It's not. Have you ever seen bones come to life? Of course not. See, some of you are pessimists. Where am I pessimist at? You're pessimists. Can these bones live? No. Why? Look at it. It's dead. Then you have the optimist. And as Christians, we're kind of tempted to think we have to be optimistic because we're saved. And of course, Christians, we don't talk like that. Because we're Christian, we got to say, yes, Lord, of course they can live. Of course, in Jesus' name, He can revive anything. There is nothing the Lord can't do. Nothing is impossible. Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Where are my optimists at? It's funny that optimistic people marry pessimistic people. And the optimistic wife said, no, it's dead. And the husband says, no, I think we can make it. No, it's dead. And optimistic friends, their best friends are pessimists. I don't know how that happens. But see, Ezekiel is not optimistic. He's not pessimistic. He's what I think all of us need to be. Realistic. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that what comes out of your mouth has to be positive all the time. It's okay to be saved and say, my life stinks. It's okay to love the Lord and say, I'm going through a hard time. It's okay to love Jesus and say, right now, things make no sense. It's okay to say, I love you, Lord, but this valley is a valley I can't take anymore. And don't you dare tell someone, don't be negative. Where's your faith? And you can't be on the other side either. You have the Lord. He's the God of the valley. So don't just live your life saying, oh, it's dead, it's hopeless, it's over. Where's the balance? Here's the balance, church. Ready for this? Can I preach this morning? Here's the balance. It's not pessimistic or optimistic. As Christians, we have to be realistic. And he's so real with God. He says, only you know, Lord. He said, oh, sovereign Lord, only you know. Notice what he says. Sovereign Lord, only you know. You know what he says there to God? I'm not negative. I'm not going to tell you it's dead and over and hopeless and buried and gone. And I'm not positive either. I'm not going to tell you, yeah, it's going to live. Hooray. But I am telling you this, God. I don't know. Isn't that where you're at right now in your valley? I don't know, God. I don't know if I'm going to find a job. I don't know if I'm going to keep my current job. I don't know if I'm going to overcome this sickness. I don't know if they're going to get saved. I don't know what to do about this problem. I don't know what to do about my future. I don't know how to restore my family. I don't know how to. I'm going to make next month's mortgage. I don't know the answer, Lord. Church, I want to tell you that you need to humble yourself in the valley and you need to tell God, I don't know. I don't have the answers, Lord. But notice what he says. Sovereign Lord, only you know. So Ezekiel says, Lord, I don't know. But one thing I do know is you are sovereign and you know. You missed it. Ezekiel says, only God knows. And he's sovereign. That word sovereign literally means all-knowing, all-powerful, fully in control above all things. He's still God, amen? And when you're in that valley where you don't know, just say, Lord, I'll be real with you. I don't know, but you know. And all I know, Lord, is I don't know why I'm in this valley. I don't know why things are so dry and dead. I don't know why things haven't worked out. But what I do know, Lord, is you are in control and you're still God. You're still God. See, there's this book I'm reading to Callie. It's called The Moon is Always Round. And this book is a father and son that go out every night to look at the moon and see what shape it's in. And sometimes the moon is crescent. Sometimes it's almost half. Sometimes it's fully half. Sometimes it's full. And sometimes the moon is completely gone. But the father reminds the son that it doesn't matter how it appears to you, the moon is always round. And one day this little boy was excited to meet his new baby sister about to be born. And this is a true story, by the way. And the baby was born stillbirth. And while they're at the hospital, I know it's a little dark book for a kid, but listen to me. While they're in the hospital, the child asked the father, why? Isn't that what we do with God? Why, Lord, are you doing this to me? Why did you take this from me? The little boy was so excited to meet his sister, and he was asking, Dad, why is she not coming home with us? And the father said, because Jesus called her. He said, well, why did Jesus call her? Doesn't he know I wanted to play with her? And at the funeral, as they buried this little girl, the father in the funeral says, what shape is the moon? And that little child says, Dad, the moon is always round. And the father says, what does that mean? And the little boy said, God is always good. God is always good. Like the moon, you may not always see it full. It's going to appear to you in different ways. And sometimes the goodness of God, it doesn't look like it's the goodness of God. It doesn't look like it's the favor of God. It doesn't look like it's the love of God, because the valleys is a place where it doesn't appear like God is even there. But in the valley, you have to understand what Elijah understood. No matter what it looks like to you, God is good all the time, and His sovereignty is always there. No matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it appears, no matter what season in your life is, God is always God, and He is the God of your valley. Give Him praise in this house this morning. Even when it doesn't appear good, the death of a child, cancer, financial struggle, divorce, job loss, abuse, pain, rejection, the Lord, like the moon, is always what it is. God is always good. And then comes the test in verse 4 to 5. Remember, Ezekiel says, Lord, I don't know. And then He says to Ezekiel, prophesy, speak the word of God, preach to these bones, and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, what would you do if you see me preaching to a bones of a dead dog on the road, and you see your pastor on the street telling these bones, live! Live! Come back together! How many of you say, oh yeah, this is my pastor, I'm so proud of him, I'll be in church next Sunday. Some of you said, I knew he was crazy, I'm done. Amen? I knew something was wrong with that boy, I knew it. Imagine what Ezekiel must have felt when God tells him to preach to dead people. When I read it, I said, Lord, I do that every Sunday. And God said, I know. I'm called to preach the word of God to people that are dead, that leave church and never change. I'm called to preach to people that hear the word of God and are still lost and on their way to hell. I'm called to preach to people that have been here at Ford for years and nothing in their life indicates that God has transformed their life. I preach to dead people every Sunday. Are you one of them? He says, speak the word of God. In verse 5, then he said to me, prophesy. And notice, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. It's amazing that these bones were dead. These bones were dry. This represented the people of God that were hopeless. And you know what God tells them? These people need the word of God. You see, The people that were dead and dry and hopeless, money wasn't going to change it. Some of you think, if I had more money, my life would be better, but you're still dead. It wasn't like you needed new things, a new house, a new car to relocate and things will get better. Or it's not pleasure that you throw at it. Maybe if I had more pleasure, the bones will come to life. The bones did not need money. The bones did not need new things. The bones did not need pleasure. The bones did not need drugs. The bones did not need alcohol. The bones did not need sex. The bones did not need a new relationship. The bone did not need a better vacation. The bones did not need any of that. What the bones needed was the Spirit of God and His Word to come back to them. It is only the Word of God that's going to bring life back to your soul. It is only the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that's going to change things. It's only the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord that's going to bring life to dead places. And if there's a dead area in your life, only the Spirit of God and His Word can revive it, and nothing else in this house today. I want you to get this. Nothing can change it but the Word and obedience. Verse 7 and 10, Ezekiel, he sees the valley. He sees the dead bones. He is presented with this challenge. Ezekiel, preach the Word of God to these dead people. And the Bible says something interesting. I prophesied as the Lord commanded. Hold that verse there. I prophesied as the Lord commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise and rattling sound, and the bones came what? Together. See, there's no doubt in my mind today in your life, there's things that are falling apart. Can I get a witness this morning? And you would want nothing more than the Lord to bring things back together in your life. You want nothing more than God to restore your family and come back together. You'd want nothing more than your husband and wife to come back together. Some of you, your lives are falling so much apart, you'd give anything for the Lord to put you back together. I pray now that the Lord will bring us back together. And as beautiful as that sounds, the reason that things started coming back together was because of one reason. It was obedience to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Read it together. So I prophesied as I what? Was commanded. Elijah was staring at the dead valley. He did not go by what he felt. He did not go by the opinions of others and what they said. He did not go by what he saw. He simply obeyed the Word of God. And I want to make it simple for you this morning. If you want to stay dead, dry, and falling apart, you keep doing you. You keep rebelling against God, keep living in sin, keep living completely away from the Lord, keep doing what you feel, keep doing what you think, keep living by other people's opinions. But I want to preach to those who are tired of the valley and want to see God put things back together. If you want to see God put things that are dead back together, it's going to take a people that say, no matter what, Lord, I'm going to do what you say. And I'm going to go back to the Word of God. And in verse 10, as all the bones were coming back together, the Bible says, so I prophesied and commanded me, breath into them. They came to life and stood up at their feet, a vast army. as Ezekiel kept prophesying to these bones. It didn't happen right away, but it was a process. And all the bones got together, but there was still no breath in them. Why? Because God was saying, I'm not done yet. And I want to tell someone here today, if you're dead and dry in the valley, the Lord is not dead. The Lord is not done. But before God can bring things back together, there has to be a willingness for you to say, whatever, Lord, you say, I will do. And I will put your word as my ultimate authority and not my emotions, not my feelings, and not my opinions or what I see. And as he began to prophesy, as crazy and as radical and as outrageous as that looked like, he started noticing change. He started noticing things coming back together. And I promise you this, when you make the commitment to follow God and His Word and repent of your sins and turn back to Him, it's not instant, it's not right away, but little by little, things begin to work together for good. Things begin to work together and God begins to make things happen and life begins to happen. And if you're in need of life, His name is Jesus, and you have to repent and turn to Him this morning. You might be in a hopeless valley and it's dry. But you make the Lord the priority of your life. Because many things in your life will not get back together without the Spirit of God. Without the Lord, there is no revival. Without the Lord, things in your life stay dead and dry. And that's what Ezekiel was all about. You know, Ezekiel was called to preach to a people in a valley of hopelessness. But let me be honest with you this morning. Why were they so hopeless? It's because they were in Babylon. Sold as slaves again. Do you remember when God called the Israelites out of Egypt? Do you remember when God led them in the wilderness? Do you remember when God rained down manna from heaven and provided for them food and water? Do you remember when He led Joshua and the second generation to the promised land? They lived in the promised land. This was 800 years. God was good to them. God was faithful. God was loving. But you know what happened when you turn into the book of Kings? The people of God said, you know what? The Lord is good and God has been faithful, but we want to be like the rest of the world. It's just like people today. You know that God is good, but you still want to live in the world. They wanted to live like all the other ungodly nations. And I want to tell you, some of you, when I look at the world, you look no different from them. You live like them. You talk like them. You value what they value. Oh yeah, God is good, but to you, He's just that. But everything else is better. And they started living in sin. They started living in idolatry. They turned their backs on God. They made it clear through their living that they wanted nothing to do with God. And God, in His mercy and His love, He would send prophets to them and pastors and preachers, and He would tell them, Babylon's coming, Babylon's coming, Babylon's coming, repent, turn back. And all the prophets that God sent, people like Jeremiah, the same Jeremiah that everyone loves, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, the one that's in coffee mugs and picture frames. Let me tell you what that verse means. That verse has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your individual plans and the prospering in the future. It's not your job. It's not promotion. It's not none of that garbage. What that verse means is God's plan was from 70 years from now, my people would repent and turn back to me. You want to know what God's plans are for your life? He wants you to repent of your ungodliness and turn back to Him this morning. That's why they were in Babylon. And the more God sent people like Jeremiah and prophets to teach them the word of God, come back to the Lord. The people wanted the prophets thrown into prison. They wanted to kill them. And you know what the people wanted? They said, no, we want the prophets that preach good news. We want the pastors that tell us everything is okay. We want the pastors and the prophets to come and said that God loves us and we're fine and everything's okay. And that is the church today in America. We are seeking pastors that want to preach into our own ears and make us feel great and comfortable while we live far away and in sin, away from God. But I'm not one of those preachers, and I'm here to preach the word of God. Repent before you go to hell. Repent before the enemy comes. Repent before everything falls apart. And if it already has, repent and turn back to Jesus. That is why the valley was dry. That is why God brought things back together. He was letting the people know the bones that are coming back together and the life that's coming back are to a people that have repented and have turned back to me. So if you find yourself in a valley of dry bones, tell yourself, why am I here? Because it could be God is saying those bones are you. You're spiritually dry. You're far from me. But I can bring life back to you. And I want you to think about this morning as we close with this. I know that life is hard. We all go and we're led by God to valleys. And it doesn't always look like God's favor. But that valley you're in right now can actually bring you closer to God than ever before. In fact, that word together, when the Bible says he brought them back together, that word in the Hebrew is the word kara, which literally means to draw near, to draw. And in the book of James, the Bible says the same thing, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. You draw near to God, and God says, I'll put things back together. And I'm preaching to anyone here this morning that's tired of the valley, that's spiritually dry and saying, Lord, I'm living wrong. I'm living in sin. I'm far from you. My life is falling apart. And I need your spirit, and I need to get back to your word. And as we stand up to our feet this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you need a revival this morning in your spirit, if you're feeling dead and dry, the Lord is waiting for you this morning. Stop ignoring the voice of God. Stop living for things that will keep you dead. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, my life are those bones. It's falling apart, it's dry, and it's dead. And I need the Holy Spirit's power in my life. I need to repent. I need Jesus in my life. I need the Lord to bring a revival to my life. I call you this morning to come to this altar this morning and really pray to the Lord. If anyone's in the valley right now, you come to the Lord as you are. For people that are dead spiritually. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I'm alive in Jesus. I'm alive and well, and I know that I love the Lord. I know the moon is always round, but right now I'm in the valley. the Lord has led me to some dark times and I'm going through a situation where I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And right now I'm in a valley of despair and hopelessness. Is that you this morning? You come to this altar as well. And don't you lose hope, because the Lord is still the God of the valley. And He will bring life again to any area in your life that is dead. Pray this with me from your heart if this is you. As people still come to this altar this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of my sins. And it's through you, Jesus, that you revive. And it's in you, Jesus, I put my faith and my trust, asking you to forgive me and revive me as I make you the Lord and Savior of my life, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for those here this morning that are in the valley, that you've led them there. And they don't understand why. They don't know how long they're going to be there, but things look hopeless. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that while you led them, Lord, to difficult places, you are still their God. Father, I pray that you will give them wisdom, revive their hope, and lead them, Lord, where they need to go. And wherever they go, let them bring life to that dead place. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray now for our church. Can we pray for our church this morning? Father, I pray for our church. If this is your church this morning, you come to this altar. Let's really pray for our church this morning. If this is your church and I am your pastor and this is your family, you come to this altar this morning. Just pray for our church. If you're physically able, come to this altar this morning. Let's pray for our church this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God of the valley. Father, you have led us as a church for almost 16 years. And there are times, Lord, that the valley looks hopeless. Valley looks dry. Father, if you would ask me right now if the church can make it, I would say, I don't know. But only you know, and you're sovereign. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for revival in our hearts, for a revival in our church, that you would cause dead things to rise and bring people here that are spiritually dead that need to see life in you, Jesus. Father, I pray as we go through this valley that your word will continue to be the source of our strength, that your word will be the one we continue to preach and believe in. And Father, we pray that you would revive everything in our lives that seems dead, in Jesus' name. Come on, give God a shout of praise this morning. Amen. Amen.